It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning, and that's the time we bring in Ted Farrow from Haskell's with another Wine Chat. Good morning, Ted. Again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Denny. I hope it was a joyous and safe New Year's for you.
It was all of the above, and I hope the same with you and all the good folks at Haskell's. And here we are with zero. That's the temp.
Well, you know, it is. January in Minnesota, that's what we should expect. It'd be nice if we had a little bit more snow to kind of make it a little bit more wintry, or, you know, those folks on the ski hills or cross-country skiing get a little bit of that. Especially the poor snowmobilers must be pulling out all their hair because they can't get out and ride those trails.
Oh, absolutely. And the snowboarders, I was talking to a gentleman at the grocery store the other day. He says, I was really looking forward to getting out there and snowboarding. I said, well, you're going to have to wait a little week, a week or two maybe, but it doesn't look good. But in the meantime, what can we talk about today?
Well, we should talk about resolutions since it's the new year, and more importantly, your wine resolutions for New Year's. You know, everybody, you get off on a new slate, you want to set some goals for yourself. You know, the first goal, and I say this kiddingly, but I'm also serious, drink more wine. You know, there was that study that just came out that just said there's some links to drinking alcohol and cancer and all that. Well, there's just as many studies out there linking, you know, drinking soda pop and a high-sugar diet and all that kind of stuff. Wine is pretty darn good for you. There's a lot of studies that show the health benefits for it. And just drinking more wine, you get a little bit more relaxed and whatnot. But that's just me, because I suppose I'm biased. But I suppose if you look at some of those surveys, they're half biased, because they'll tell you coffee's good for you, and that's sponsored by, you know, Starbucks or somebody. But drinking more wine, it's a communal thing. It's a great pleasure. But that's not the only thing. And I suppose I'll stir up a controversy, Denny. So I'll get off my soapbox real quick, and I'll move on to some other resolutions.
That's a good idea.
So one resolution I always say to people, especially this time of year, is to go catalog your wine cellar. Go take a look-see at it. You know, you never know how much wine you properly have until you either have to count it or move it. We found that doing our inventories in our stores, but it's always a discovery process where you go down into your cellar and you catalog it. You see exactly what you have, how much you have. And then what you do with that information is then maybe do a little bit of research. There's a lot of great apps and websites out there that you can plug in the wine, the vintage, etc. It'll give you some recommended dates to drink that. So it kind of gets you a little bit of information for you to say, well, wait a minute, I had all these 12 wines I've been holding on to, and they're getting at their point where I might want to drink those. Or you're kind of excited to drink them, and they might tell you to hold them. That's half the fun of doing trail wines like that, but it's getting that information about your wine cellar to know that. And then there's also some discoveries where you look in there, oh geez, look at that, and you kind of wax a little nostalgic. I went to Italy that one time and I bought those four Barolos, and there they are, they're sitting in my cellar. I forgot all about them. You know, I think I'm going to open those up. And it's a great thing when you sit and kind of look down, see what is actually in there. See all those fun treasures, and you can, little again, wax nostalgic about why you purchased those. Maybe some of those wines were in significant years, like the year you got married or children's birth years, and you see how you're doing, and then you look at that and you know gauge it. And then, more importantly, maybe you look and see what you're actually missing in your wine cellar, because maybe you're real heavy on Bordeaux and you want some Burgundies. Maybe you're real heavy on Italian wines and you want some other ones. And you need to kind of get those, and you get those ones moving, you get going, you get the wines, and you start consuming them. And that's a great thing to do with all that. And the other hook is, like I said, you look back and you decide why you purchased those. Again, you could have been a great trip, a good, children's birth years, but then you just, the other hook is, another resolution should be, now share those wines. Once you take all those wines and you see what you have, you know, after a while, they don't do you a darn bit of good if they're just sitting there and you have this museum of wine in your home. You know, you want to go and share those. So a great resolution is to figure out what some of those wines are, and you sit down and you maybe plan a dinner party around it. You plan, you know, having some friends over. So that's a great way to do it. So if you did get some of those Barolos, if you're in Italy that one time. You sit down and you decide to make a great bolognese sauce and have five or six people over and properly enjoy them, because that's what it's all about, is sitting there with other people, you know, enjoying these wines. It's a communal beverage. People like it. You can tell the stories of how you found it, maybe some crazy adventure while you're in Italy. But then you're sitting there enjoying, you know, again, like a hearty bolognese, or maybe you made a big wild mushroom risotto or something along those lines. Just nice, rich food like that, but you're enjoying it with other people, because that's what it's truly about, as far as just enjoying great wine, enjoying why you put that into your cellar, and it might spark some other things. You know, that's another kind of resolution that I think is kind of fun, is become an expert on a particular region. You know, maybe you've been out to Napa, maybe you've been out to Sonoma, like we did with our friends tours years ago. But, you know, but maybe you want to try a different vineyard or a different region. Maybe you want to select the Loire Valley and all the offerings that they have, and do some research. Not only, you know, buy a few of the wines from the Loire, whether it's a Grey Sun, Serre, Sauvignon Blanc, or, you know, a Chinon, which is a Cabernet Franc. But you work on those and then do some research on that area. Read some books about it. But, you know, get some, collect the information, try the wines, and then more importantly, maybe find some recipes about that particular region where you can sit and kind of get to know that region, get to know the great food from that region, get the customs. You know, maybe eventually you stock up enough money, go to that region and visit it. But I think picking a particular wine region, whichever where it is, you know, whether it's our Argentinian friends, Spanish, whatever, you sit, go select that, then do the research on it, but more importantly, buy the wines from that region and really kind of immerse yourself into that and become an expert about it, because it doesn't take that much. It's a, you know, as we always say, open the cork and let the adventure begin. And so, you know, that's another great resolution to do, and do it in a fun way. Again, where maybe you have a dinner party with people coming over and you're sitting there having all your friends together. You're tasting these wines. You tell a story. Maybe you collect some of those friends up and you go travel to that region, and then you explore those different wineries. You explore the different restaurants. You immerse yourself into the culture, because you really do yourself a true big favor in doing that, because you know, not only do you kind of become a world citizen, but it just enhances your life that much more. And it doesn't take that much. And, you know, the word expert can be a little bit intimidating, but, you know, it's just doing that research, having that fun, opening that book, whether it's the old Hugh Johnson's book about the wonderful worlds of wine, where you look at that, you look at those regions, and you really get into it. And it's a great way to do that. And it doesn't take that much. You know, really don't have to go far out on a limb to become that expert on that. And maybe once you conquered one of the regions, whether it is Burgundy, then jump over to Bordeaux, because there's so many different options to try. And, you know, you always have to have that open mind and that open mouth to become that expert in that region. But that's, you know, really, truly the fun part about it, is be adventurous. Step out of your comfort zone. Again, my comfort zone is Burgundies. I love them very much. But, you know, when you always try a different Pinot Noir, whether it is from the Willamette, whether it is from the Russian River, you know, it's an adventure. And you sit and try it, you enjoy it, and then critique it. But the interesting thing is, it doesn't take that much to become that expert about knowing certain things about that particular region, about those particular wines, but more importantly, it's experiencing them, opening those bottles up, trying that with friends, and it, just enjoy it. Because you know what? Maybe 2025 is the year of camaraderie, enjoying one another. Let's all get together and get this stuff done.
Yeah, the key word, I think, and it's a great project as far as becoming, quote, an expert, but keeping it fun. And I recall not only you set it off, and Ted, but your dad as well, with Charlie years ago. And I guess, like a lot of people, or some people, I was kind of guilty, and maybe still am to some extent, of kind of being in a rut. I know what I like, but suddenly, well, once in a while, when you step out and say, I think I'm going to try this, I went, whoa, where have you been all my life? You know, it's easy to get in a rut, isn't it?
You are correct, and that's kind of the nice resolution, that we're trying to get those people to try new things, to try get more wines. You know, I mean, there's eventually, you know, you can hit a spot where you're like, hey, no matter what, I've tried this particular region or I've tried Cabernet, and it always gives me a headache, and you give up on it. But never always, you know, you can shade away from it, but don't give up. Like, try it every so often, but then go back to what your favorite is, but then always be willing to open it up and try something new, because there's so many different wines out there, so many different regions, and these winemakers are doing some real creative things and making really great wines. You know, nowadays with the technology that's out there, with the stainless steel fermentation, temperature control throughout the entire fermentation process, you know, wines are, that are being made are quite good, and so the variances aren't that much. So you do try, you know, oh, I don't like Sauvignon Blancs, but then you go try Loire wine and really get, you know, try a Touraine. Oh my goodness, that's great. And then, as we always say, then try a Sancerre, which is a pH, you know, a Sauvignon Blanc with a PhD degree. It's so sophisticated. And try that, and then I think your eyes would be open, or open because you're trying something new, and it's, again, it's an experiment. And quite frankly, think of what you're experimenting on. You know, it's not like you're trying household products. You're trying wine, which is a fun thing right. to do anyways.
Yeah. Tough duty. Tough duty.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a text, and I know we're almost out of time. The texter wants to know, how can we know when we should drink the wine? I've opened many bottles, texter says, only to end up pouring them down the drain or using them to make vinaigrette dressing. I guess, generally speaking, I mean, you take your chances, right? Sometimes the wine's not great.
There's some science behind it, yes, but it's also an art form as far as knowing which what to do. And, you know, some of that depends on what the wine is. You know, there are certain wines that are made to be put in your cellar for 10, 15, 20 years. Some of the great Bordeaux, some of the great Burgundies, you know, Barolos used to be making that. They're changing their style of Barolo to try it, make them a little bit more enjoyable as well. But, you know, that's part of the reason why you should go in and catalog those. You take a look, see at them, and if it is a little bit over the hill, at least you can do that or make some pot roast with it or something along those lines. But that's the trick is, you know, you want to hit those wines when they're at their kind of height of enjoyment, but if you wait too long, it might not work.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to get lots of help and no intimidation at any Haskell's location.
You are correct, Denny. You know, the Haskell's folks love to help you with your New Year's resolutions, whether it is, you know, filling those holes in that cellar of yours or helping you become an expert of a wine region. We're there to take care of you. We're there to answer your questions and guide you on that path. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from the Ridgedale Center, Haskell's in Highland Village. We also have a Haskell's down in Lomans Plaza in Bloomington. If you're out west, stop by a Haskell's in Excelsior, or if you're going out east, Haskell's in White Bear Lake or all right in Stillwater. Or if you're headed down south, stop by the Haskell's in Faribault. We have a Haskell's in Plymouth, and our super cellar up in Maple Grove is a sight to be seen. And if you can't hit any of those locations 24/7, you can always stop by Haskell's.com, search the worlds of wine, and we'll even deliver them to your home.
Fantastic. Ted, again, Happy New Year to you, our listeners, and all the folks at Haskell's. And let's join forces again next Saturday.
I look forward to it, Daddy.
Thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, get those lawn and garden questions ready. Yes, indeed. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M on this chilly morning. We'll be talking lawns and gardens. And you know we tend to get busy, so join us coming up in a few minutes here. You can call or text your lawn and garden question for Julie coming along next hour. Now, sunshine today. We may get up to near 9 above. Right now, we have a wind chill of a minus 16. CCO temp at zero. Stay with us.